philosophies in my experience and my experiment. Oh.
So I feel like you can start to tell from the sigh at the beginning of each episode how I'm feeling, whether it's a upbeat kind of sigh or like a resignation kind of sigh. Today is a resignation kind of sigh, I guess. I'm living, it's so interesting. Like, I'm living life right now. Well, I actually don't even feel like I'm living it. I'm surviving it. And there are moments where that's not true, and there is moments where things are as good as they could be considering my circumstances, but there's also just a lot of stress upon stress upon stress upon stress, which for the most part I live life in denial of, because if I lived life, you know, like in the actual, constantly in the awareness of where I'm at, I don't think I could cope. And it's interesting because, like, I feel like, you know, there's this one element where it's like everyone at the moment, particularly on the east coast of Australia, but I guess globally too, is, you know, in this really deep place of uncertainty. And as am I, and the circumstances are different, but the feels are similar. But then I also feel like nobody can actually relate to where I'm at, unless you've been through something similar. So, you know, we're still just waiting. Miko has an angiogram book for the 6th of August, and we just wait until then. But it is like living on tenterhooks a bit, you know. It is like living on a constant state of alert. It's quite stressful. It's quite stressful, particularly with what's happening COVID-wise along our East Coast. Border closures and all that stuff really impact us as border dwellers. We're locked out. And I'm sure there's medical exemptions, but it would mean likely that Mabel and I wouldn't be able to be there with Miko as he has surgery. And, you know, that's a bit shit, but it is also what it is. And I'm just finding I'm having to surrender on a daily basis. You can probably hear the emotion in my voice because it's very real. And the last 24 hours have just been a real roller coaster for me. I'm not feeling inspired. I'm not feeling like working at the moment. And today actually is the first day I've had to myself since we had the diagnosis. You know, I've had either Miko around, we had school holidays, and then I've had Mabel have some trouble at school, just, you know, not school refusal. She's had this tornado head thing going on for a couple of weeks, and that's adding another layer of stress, because I don't know what that's about. I'm imagining it's stress, but even that makes me feel shit. Because a 6-7-year-old shouldn't have to have her experience of, like, her life of living memory be just living on the edge, having plans cancelled due to pandemics, you know, not being able to have her mum drop her off at school. And, like, in terms of going into the school, we're still not allowed to do that, you know. It's like, and then now on top of that, her dad, you know, it's a lot. And I have thought about not recording this podcast. I've thought about just letting it go and you know, really just not doing anything. But part of me does want to document this, because it's not enough people share, you know, until they're on the other side, until they've assimilated the lessons. Nobody really shares from this place. And I think that creates a lot of shame. I think that creates a lot of shame for people when they are in this place, and it stops them from getting the help that they need and the support that they need. Because they think there's something wrong with this, but I'm like, fuck that. Fuck that, because there is nothing wrong with this place. That, you know what? There would be something wrong with me more if I didn't feel like this at the moment. If I was just cruising through this, I feel like I'd be a sociopath or something, you know? But I'm not. I'm a human being moving through some really huge, huge stuff. And and struggling with it all, with the enormity of it. And I'm not going to not talk from this place because some people think, you know, that it's weak. That's really what we're saying, right? Like, when we're saying don't share from the wound, what we're saying is like, that it makes you weak. Where I actually feel like it makes you really fucking strong to be able to accept where you are and still not hide. I'm not hiding. Because if I did, I think I would disappear. And I'm not going to hide away because some people feel uncomfortable hearing another person in pain. I think we need to get used to it. You know? We need to really, when we're listening to someone in pain, we really need to take responsibility for our own feelings and be aware of what we're projecting onto that other person, because it says a lot about the way you feel about pain and suffering when you're, you know, like, what is your response? I know for me, I was really uncomfortable with it years ago, and I'd always be the person saying don't cry and here's a box of tissues and, you know, pep talks and all that kind of jazz. But over the last 10 to 15 years, that has really changed for me. I want people to be able to have safe spaces where they can move through big and little shit. And I want to lead by example. I'm aware that I have influence. I am aware of that. And I want to use that influence for good. And so that means, you know, and maybe it'll get to the point where I'm just like, no, I can't talk about this. Like, what is the point? I am experiencing a bit of that at the moment. It's like, what value does this have for other people? You know, I mean, at the moment, I feel like you'd have to be kind of not a narcissist, but like someone who enjoys people's pain to be listening to this episode in particular. That, I know that's not the case, and I know that you love me it's such a weird place to be. I feel like I have a lot of support, but also I feel really alone. I feel like I'm carrying a lot at the moment, a lot. And so my patience is very thin. Last night I had a dream that I was at a dinner party with a friend of mine, and it got towards the end of the night, and I was speaking to one of the other guests there, and she told me she was from Sydney, and she said she had, you know, didn't believe in COVID and came up for, you know, because she just didn't want to be in Sydney in lockdown. And in the dream, this was a dream, right? It's not actually reality, though I'm sure there's probably actual reality of this happening. And I just got so triggered in my dream that I just started screaming at my friend who was hosting the party, screaming at the girl, like flying completely off the handle. I'm sure it's just me processing a lot of unexpressed anger. I'm very angry at the moment too, and very easily triggered. You know, I think one of the things that hurts has been watching friends, you know, kind of, I don't know, not comply with government directives. And that has been really difficult for me, considering what's at stake here for me. Knowing that it's only a matter of time, really, unless by some, I don't know, but if COVID starts ramping up here, and, you know, Nico would not survive. And that makes it very real for me, very real. And then really hurtful when I see people I love acting what feels to me just to be so selfishly at the moment. And then I also recognize how much good there is in the world, how many amazing people there are doing, you know, I don't want to sound like fucking Gladys, our New South Wales Premier, if you're not an Aussie, but like, and I don't want to sound like, I don't know, like, but doing the right thing, doing the thing. You know, I feel like there's so much that I want to say on this, and I just don't have the articulation at the moment because I am in survival mode. My frontal cortex is just not working at the moment, so I don't have the capacity to be able to put into words what I've been feeling. But I do feel like there is this shift at the moment towards it, you know, I feel like we've been in the age of the individual, and we're shifting back into an age of the collective. And I can see that playing out. And I can see, I don't know, it's, yeah. I don't have the words, so I'm not even gonna bother trying. But you know, I do have hope. I don't think I could make it through this if I didn't. You know, I don't think I could. And sometimes I'm like, you know, get a grip, it's not actually all that bad. You know, they caught it, not early, but with enough time. If it was, you know, like if he has symptoms, he'll get the care he needs more urgently. There are people more acute that require, you know, and this is the whole thing about, like, this is the stress of COVID, right? Like, at the moment, because we do have a really limited amount of ICU beds in Australia. I think it's 2,370. what happens to the people like Mikko if they're all full of people with COVID and Mikko has a heart attack, you know? Like, this is why we need to be thinking about more than just ourselves. Because there are people who we love, you know, like, it's just a lot. You know, I think like the heart stuff isn't enough, but then on top of it, a pandemic, and on top of it, you know, everything else that's going on for me, the fact that we, you know, we don't have income insurance for Mikko because he rolled over his super the week before we had the diagnosis, and now he's pre-existing, so no one will insure him. And he's already had a month off because we didn't know how the public health system worked, and we were told not to work. And then not, you know, like now we don't have leave enough for money to be coming in. While his recovery will be 2 to 3 months at least. You know, there's that stress. I can't forward project that much. There's also the surgery, which, you know, I mean, it's routine, but there's always risk. You know, it's like just so much. It's so much. And I want to document it, even though sometimes I think, why? You know, I've been through lots. I've had a big, very big life. I've been through a lot in my life. And I know that this podcast has really helped me through, you know, that time when I was just having failed launch after failed launch after failed launch, and ended up hooked up to an ECG thinking I was having a heart attack. You know, this podcast was there for it. It's been there for some of the best moments in my life and some of the worst. And this is probably a bit of both. You know, like I feel like it's definitely one of the hardest times of my life. I feel like my entire life has put me in good stead to be able to cope during this but there's also, you know, a silver lining. Once this surgery is done and Mikko's recovered, like, he won't know himself. He'll have, you know, his heart has been working at 25% of its capacity for God knows how long. Can you even imagine that? 25% of its capacity. It's mind-blowing. And hey, pup. And he'll have it, you know, he'll have like a fully working heart, which he's never had in his entire life, which is amazing. But the waiting is incredibly difficult. So yeah, that is where I'm at. It's not pretty. It's not pretty at all. But I feel better for just having articulated it. You know, I think if I didn't have this outlet, I don't know that I'd be able to cope as well as I have. And I have. I have coped well, considering the enormity of it. And, you know, yeah, I can go into moments of denial and moments of, oh yeah, it's all good. But, you know, it's not. And it's incredibly difficult. And I don't have any answers. I don't have like a nice little ending to like make you feel better about yourself, or even make me feel better about myself. It's just the truth of the circumstances that I find myself. And just talking to you about this does make me feel less alone, even though I don't even know if anyone's listening. Just having it live outside of myself, because it is very difficult to live with someone who is, you know, like, while this is affecting me, it's also huge for my husband. He's the one that has to live with this ticking time bomb in his chest. He's the one that has to have massive surgery and then recover from that surgery. And he's, you know, there's so much that he is going through too. Feeling afraid of moving too much, feeling afraid of exerting himself, you know, like, so I can talk to him about it, and I do, but it's nice to have another place too, because at the moment I find it difficult to talk to, some people about it, because it's a very hard thing to relate to. And I have to be very careful in who I choose to talk about it and be really honest about it, because not everyone is great at holding space. So that's where I'm at. And you know, like, I'm not going to say that I'm going to be here week in, week out, because there may be times where I actually do need to just not be thinking about getting a podcast out. You know, I think last week's episode really highlighted that, like, running your own business while life is throwing, you know, like, a lot of stuff your way can be really fucking difficult. So can be producing a podcast during massive life stuff, you know? And sometimes it's, I wish I had the, you know, financial support that meant that I didn't have to still work during this, but I do, because I've got to keep a roof over our heads, and that's hard when, you know, like, frequency is ending and I have no idea of what's next, and I have no creativity, and I have, you know, I do not have the energy for a launch right now. I just don't. And so that adds more stress. But it just is what it is. So who knows, right? Like, right now it feels good for me to show up and share, even though it feels difficult. It feels healthy. And it is an outlet of expression that I really need at the moment, because I don't have the creativity for really anything else. So that's me. In a nutshell. Help, I'm in a nutshell. Until next week, or whenever I record. Peace out. Carlos Ortiz, I'm Carly Nimmo.